Good morning and welcome to another edition of This Week in the Pecos Valley. I'm Mike Jackson. Joining us on the program today is Fred Nathan from Think New Mexico.
Well, Fred, it seems like every time we talk to you, you're a busy man. I know we talked to you earlier this year about the reforming of the PRC, which that is obviously done, and now your group is getting set to take on another project. So you're actually looking at opening up the primary system here in New Mexico for primary elections. I was wondering if you could, you know, kind of give us some more information.
Sure. And your readers may not be, or your readers, your listeners may not be aware of this, Mike, but in New Mexico we have what's called the closed primary, and that means that independents are not allowed to vote in primary elections. And it's interesting, you know, that's the fastest growing group of voters right now. About 30 years ago, they were only 6% of the voters. Now they're 18%. Nearly one in five is a registered independent. And they can only vote in the general election. And ironically, they're the ones that help to pay for these elections, but yet they're not allowed to vote in them. And so we think this is just sort of an overdue reform. And it'll have two positive things for, you know, people who are not registered independents are probably thinking, well, why do I care? And the answer is because we would have greater participation in those elections and I think, frankly, better candidates, more accountability, because what happens is I think both parties tend to cater to the fringes. And when you get independents involved and greater numbers of voters, that can only be a good thing because you have more voters vetting these candidates, and you're more likely to get people that are willing to work across the aisle and come up with solutions rather than some of these bomb throwers that we sometimes get in elected office.
Well, I know your group has undertaken a lot of massive projects over the years. You know, again, at the top of the interview, we stated about the fact that you all were able to reform the PRC, and obviously that was not an easy task for anybody, let alone a group like yours. But, you know, just kind of curious, so what sort of steps are you guys going to be taking to try and get the primaries open?
Well, so last week I wrote a letter to both of the party chairmen and explained to them that this system really doesn't, you know, in addition to being very unfair to independent voters, really is suboptimal in terms of, you know, we should want as a state, given that we're 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings, to change things up. And one way to do that is to get more people involved in the front end in our elections. And then the other argument I made, which, and you know, people have argued all the things that I've said before, which is that it would be better to have higher voter participation in primaries. And by the way, those numbers continue to decline every year or every other year when we have elections. And this would be a way to pump those numbers up. But in addition to that, I tried to make the argument that it's actually in their interest to include independents in their elections, because it's actually the independents that in New Mexico decide many of these elections in the general election. And I was suggesting to them that the party that acts first will have a great advantage, because if independents, for example, can vote in the Republican primary but not the Democratic primary, they're going to vote in that Republican primary, they're going to get invested in those candidates, and then vote for them again in the general election. So, you know, candidly, I'm trying to play the parties off each other and to say the first mover here is going to have an enormous advantage, and hopefully one of them, one of these two parties, will figure it out. And I'm pretty confident that once one party opens their primaries to independent voters, that the next party will follow behind very quickly.
Well, how do you think the members, and I'm talking more along the lines of maybe the central committee members of both parties, how do you think that they will react to this?
That's a really good question, Mike, and I'm not sure, but you're right. I know where you're going with this, that people that serve on those central committees tend to be the real true believers and extremely partisan. But I think both parties, you know, if you look at demographics on this, it's fascinating. We went back to 1984, and back then Democrats were about 62% of registered voters. and they're now today 48%. The Republican Party in 1984 was about 32% of voters. Today they're 32% of voters. So they've been a minority party for a very long time. So both of them, if they think more like, frankly, business people in terms of market share, if you're the Democrats, you've got to be worried that, your market share continues to decline. If you're the Republicans, you've got to be concerned that your market share hasn't increased in 30 years and it's stuck at less than a third of the market. And meanwhile, this third party, if you will, the independents, not only do they continue to grow, they've increased by a factor of 3 from 6% to 18%, but if you drill down on who the independent voters are, they tend overwhelmingly to be younger people. And so you can see that this trend is going to continue where the independents take market share from these two parties. And if you talk to a business person, they would say that's a real sign that you've got to change what you're doing. And so it's really, in some ways, maybe an IQ test for the two political parties to see who's the first one to figure out that we've got to be more inclusive. We've got to try to recapture some of this market share that we've been losing. And so I'm confident over time one of them's going to figure it out. And like I said, I think then the next party will follow quickly on their heels.
I know that the disenfranchisement, if you will, if there is such a word, if not, we've just made one up, of the Republicans and Democrats around the country, that there's a lot of people that seem to be getting really disenfranchised with both parties, and a lot of people are shifting toward independent. You think New Mexico is following the rest of the nation in this case?
Yes, and Mike, and like everything else, maybe a little bit more slowly. In a lot of states, the independents actually comprise a plurality of voters, meaning that they've got a higher percentage than either the Democrats or the Republicans. And I think a lot of people, you know, because of this, a lot of people don't register as independents because they want to be able to vote in the primaries. And some people say, well, you know, if you want to vote in the primary, then just register with one of the two parties. But our view on that is that, you know, you shouldn't have to pledge allegiance to a political party to have the right to vote. You know, you ought to be able to, you know, express your opinions however you choose. And that's basically what's been going on, is that we just have this duopoly. And they control the statutes, and so naturally they make it harder and harder for independents to participate because they have this partisan mindset. But if you look at the population as a whole, you know, people are not as partisan as the people that make our laws. And so really what we're trying to do is get our elected officials to more reflect the population as a whole.
All right. As you mentioned at the top of the, or toward the top of the interview, you've contacted the chair people of both parties. Now, are you in a waiting game to find out just exactly what their response is on this?
Pretty much. Both parties have state conventions coming up later this year, so we've put this on their plate. And now I think we're going to try to work with our friends in both parties to see if we can get the parties to at least consider it, put it to a vote. And I think if they think through the arguments, you know, it's interesting, one of the parties, actually both of the parties think, well, if we open this up, there could be political mischief. In other words, if you open it up, then people from the other party could infiltrate our party and elect the weakest candidate. But actually, under the current system, the closed primary, people do have the right to re-register 30 days before an election. So that could happen under the current closed primary system. So there really aren't a lot of good arguments. I mean, that's really the only one that they've come out with in the media. And it's easy to knock that argument down because it, you know, the current system doesn't stop that from happening. And so I'm just hoping that we can at least create a debate in both parties. And I think the pragmatic people in both parties, you know, both parties always say that they want a big tent and they want to be inclusive. And this will be a test for them to see if their actions meet their rhetoric.
Now, in addition to this, I know that every year your group always talks about various things like reforming the PRC. I know that you guys also looked at eliminating the tax on food and medicine and some other things a few years ago. Just kind of curious, this project that you're getting ready to work on now, is this going to go on side by side with the other major project that you guys plan to start working on later this year?
Yes. So this is just something, full disclosure, I'm a registered independent, and this has always irked me. And as I said earlier, I really don't think it's in the interest of anybody in New Mexico. Even if you're a partisan Republican or a partisan Democrat, I think we would get better results from our elections if we included the whole populace in these elections. So this is something, it's sort of a side issue for us that we'd like to work on in tandem with maybe a bigger project like the PRC reform. And as we were saying before the interview, the Board of Think New Mexico is going to meet later this month to pick a new topic. And we generally look for something that's big enough to make a difference in the lives of most New Mexicans, but yet small enough to be politically achievable. And you're right, that's what we were able to do with repealing the food tax and making full-day kindergarten available to every child in New Mexico and reforming the lottery. And then this past session, with your help and the help of others, we were able to streamline the Public Regulation Commission and get them refocused on their core mission, which should be about utility rate setting, and also increase the qualifications of people who serve on the Public Regulation Commission so that they'll start making some better decisions on behalf of all of us.
So is this how you're going to spend your summer vacation?
You got it. You got it. No rest for the weary. We'll be back at it, but it's a labor of love, and it's a great state, and we just wanted to see if we can, at the margins, make it better on a few things.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time for visiting with us. Joining us on the program today is Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico, and we'll be talking to you more on various other subjects throughout the year as well. Any final words you'd like to leave with us this morning?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on your show. You're always so generous, Mike. And secondly, if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about Think New Mexico, I would welcome them to visit our website at www.thinknewmexico.org.